This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Stories themselves, which will be quickly forgotten. First, this from the National Weather Service. Today, we've got cloudy skies and it's 50-50 as far as rain is concerned. Highs around 55. Tonight, 100% chance of rain with lows around 50, except in rural areas where temperatures could go down to around 45. Tomorrow, showers, highs 55 to 60, and wind picking up a bit, 5 to 15 for Friday night, overcast and a bit of a drizzle, lows around 45 and breezy. The alternative forecast, it's the first quarter of flower moon in Gemini. The moon is 7 days old, and everything that we spoke of yesterday still obtains, of course, today. Good time to plant stuff. It's a waxing moon, and, of course, it's an even better time to forage. So, that said, the alternative forecast as well as the conventional forecast out of the way, we are going to dive right in. Today, we are going to try to reach a gentleman by the name of Bo Grosskamp. He is, of course, best known for his work on the drone situation. He's the author of several books on terrorism, including Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. And he has been very vocal on the subject of terrorism. He points out that at first President Obama called the Boston bombing a tragedy, and that's the label that he was roundly he pounded down for using. The right emerged from its den and attempted to deliver a thrashing. Day later, Obama had said that it was an act of terrorism. And recall, of course, the recent fracas in Libya when the MR ambassador was killed, and of course, where Obama was castigated for not immediately coming out and using the word terrorism. One should be careful about using that word. It seems that a matter of semantics, and there are real power politics here. The following facts in the Boston bombing: the FBI says that it doesn't know who was responsible or how many were involved, and the feds also define terrorism as the unlawful use of force or violence against people or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof. Of course, they go on. I believe that we seem to have emerged into a climate of generalized ambient terror, and I believe that the stories that we're going to be looking at today would bear that out. I believe that the CISPA vote, online privacy, that again, that's something. There are different forms. Terrorism takes many different forms, and it also depends on who you are. If you are an activist, if you are an anarchist, and you are on the line frequently and are still foolish enough to send and messages through various types of email, then you can certainly expect CISPA to have some impact on your life. And again, that might be a cause for terror. This, the threat of bad things coming from out of the blue would seem to be a better definition. But we're going to try to reach Bo Grosskamp and get him on the line to elaborate on his thoughts. But first, let's recap some of the news from around Cascadia, because this is where our feet are planted firmly on the ground. As we mentioned yesterday, but really ought to revisit today, the Environmental Protection Agency has fined a key group of Portland Harbor property owners a ridiculous amount of money. We said it yesterday. I want to say it again today. $125,500. That's what they spend on one of their children's weddings. It's a... This pinky slap for unacceptable quality in its assessment of health risks from harbor pollutants. The Lower Willamette Group represents 14 huge property owners in the harbor. And, of course, this part of the Willamette is listed under the Federal Superfund and list of sites that are signaled for cleanup. That was back in 2000. This, it includes the city of Portland, the Port of Portland, Northwest Natural Gas, and 11 large Portland industries. The EPA said it could have fined the group more than $1 million, but reduced the fine, wait for it, because the group has made good faith attempts to address the agency's concerns. Oh, right. Show it. Well, show us the money. Show us the. Show us what they've actually done. It would be very difficult to point out anything. The penalty marks another sign of absurd relations as the EPA gets closer to making a decision, which could come down in 2015 about how the heavily industrialized harbor should be cleaned up. In January, the EPA said that it was going to rewrite sections of another key Lower Willamette Group report on harbor cleanup options after finding many deficiencies. The EPA, if there is a government agency capable of actually getting the job done, it would have to be the EPA, but it is certainly interesting how pressure from industry lobbying groups does take a toll on our health and our well-being. Another familiar voice for many listeners we're going to try to reach today is Mark Potok with the Southern Poverty Law Center, America's major group monitoring the activities of right-wing domestic, let's call them terrorists. They're certainly active in that area. We don't hear very much from them until something actually happens. And even then, there are events that have been tied to them, and yet we cannot close the gap of credibility. Continuing with Cascadia, they're California-based, and let me draw a line under that, California-based, out-of-state, Sandy Pack, because owners in Eugene have been negotiating for 10 months with the Teamsters Local 206. Now, here we are, and management has placed ads seeking to hire new workers in case of a strike by drivers and mechanics. This is out of Eugene. For the Glenwood-based garbage hauling and recycling company, the owners, management, and the unions representing workers met for 6 hours yesterday to try to come to terms on a new contract. The last contract at the Eugene metro area's biggest garbage hauling company conked out last June. The waste connection has been negotiated for 10 months with Teamsters Local 206. Well, yeah, wait a minute. Why is there a California company hauling garbage around Eugene? And why, furthermore, are we now importing out-of-state union busters? Don't we have enough union busters here? Couldn't we grow some more if we need them? 100 years of ineptitude. Sheriffs are painting a dire picture for Oregon lawmakers. Yes, indeed, 100 years of ineptitude. Yesterday, Timber County sheriffs warned state lawmakers, here it is again. This is an example of terrorism. Telling lawmakers that you don't have the money to enforce the law and keep the bad guys at bay. Basically holding state officials, holding them hostage in situations by saying that if we don't get some money really quickly, we're going to just lay off all the policemen and Well, what will we have? We'll have anarchy. We'll have that word, the A word. Yep, 100 years of ineptitude. And the rural, as they so often refer to as a timber county, still haven't figured out how to keep their economies running without cutting down the forests. These are the people who shun big government, and they believe that people shouldn't rely on welfare and handouts. They think people should pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and celebrate the opportunities of the free market system. Sheriffs from Curry, Douglas, Josephine, and Polk counties, along with a district attorney from Lane County, Went to Salem, spoke for legislative task force, studying ways to help distressed counties. We're knocked sideways from the decline of federal timber revenues. They want more money in there, and they are literally holding that waving the terror flag. Five people were arrested yesterday in Salem. It was a busy day down at the state capitol. Police in Salem arrested five people protesting the pending closure of Salem's mail sorting facility. The protesters had refused to leave the workroom. Yesterday's protest drew a crowd of... mainstream media reports. I've got a number of, I've got several different numbers here from several different sources. The low ball was 35. There's more than that, actually. People do tend to come and go for these actions. And the high number would be upwards of 50. And the Statesman Journal reports that Salem is one of several Oregon processing and distribution facilities expected to close in 2013. As part of the Postal Service plan to cut costs. People forget the Postal Service is not connected to the federal government. It does not rely on tax dollars. We should also remember that this is, again, it's an attempt to, first off, privatize the Postal Service, making it with the end game of which would result in, instead of... spending a few pennies to send a letter to Alaska, you'd be spending, again, about $50. More actions from around the country. That's all we have time for today. And we are Cascadia, and this is where our feet are planted on the ground. And again, the events that we talk about today, the connections between them are what is significant and what will have a lasting impact. This has been our Cascadia for Thursday, April 18th. Rock Bergeron, engineer of the show today, Kathleen Stevenson, the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Robert Perry reports on Ronald Reagan's complicity in the extermination of hundreds of Mayan villages in the 1980s. Also, we'll take a look at how the media might have learned a lesson in covering the latest horror story in Boston. And we'll remember Sal Castro, visionary Chicano educator who walked out with his students, the only one to do it, in the legendary actions of 1968 in Los Angeles. An amazing interview. We're looking forward to that. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, there's a couple of stories written by Robert Perry, the founder of the ConsortiumNews.com, that we wanted to talk about. Bob, welcome back to Flashpoints. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Dennis.
Well, I want to spend just a couple of minutes on your piece around perhaps lessons learned by the U.S. media, because it's not often we have a chance to talk positively about our brethren and sistren in the corporate press. But it does appear, as you write, that in covering Boston, it didn't immediately become an orgy of sort of make-believe stories about Middle Easterners. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Dennis, I think I may have been too nice too early.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah, there was the situation today.
I was worried about that. Where
CNN's John King rushed out a report that was then retracted about the arrest of a, quote, dark-skinned, unquote, suspect. So you saw, again, I guess, the some of that pattern re-emerging that we've seen so often in these kinds of, terrorist situations. In the 1990s, it seemed like every time there was one of these awful attacks, the networks would trot out these terrorism experts who would then point the fingers in the wrong direction. But there had been, at least initially, after this horrible event in Boston, some noticeable restraint on the part of even the cable networks, which are not known for it. And that sort of changed a bit today. But I guess now that's at least that story has been retracted. There has not been an arrest, or at least there wasn't as of last time I was able to check. So, and CNN has pulled
but
back.
But I do think you have a point, Bob, that I mean, I did pay attention to the coverage, and I was actually surprised. I was expecting it right out of the starting gate. And there really did seem to be to make an attempt to connect it to things like Patriots Day, and this really is a very good way of people who are right-wing patriots who are nervous about a lot of things making a statement.
Right, I think some of the newscasts, they did mention there was an early questioning of a young Saudi man. So there was a certain amount of driving the story in that direction of it being Islamic terrorism of some sort, and then there was the. But there was also commentary about, well, there are other possibilities, including the fact that it was tax day, April 15th. It was, Boston now, Massachusetts now celebrates Patriots Day on the third Monday. So instead of it being April 19th, which, of course, is the day of the beginning of the revolution in 1775, it's now on this Monday. But there was, of course, the use of April 19th by Timothy McVeigh as the timing for the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, and 2 years before that, there had been the fiery conclusion of the Waco standoff was also on April 19th. So that date had become somewhat significant to some right-wing militia-style groups. So I think people at least were trying to say there are other possibilities. Beyond what people would normally sort of jump to, which is some assumption that it was a Middle East terrorist attack of some kind.
Well, I'm not going to get too excited about it, but it's worth noting. I think there was a little, I think you're right, there was a bit of change there, a bit of restraint. Not that we expect that much. In any event, a story, Bob, that you're also reporting on, and I think it went up today or yesterday, was on Guatemala and the